Welcome to the Recapture Your Life podcast with Steve Crenshaw.
Welcome back. This week we're going to talk about failure and how our mind perceives it. You know, most people either don't believe they will have a failure in their life, or they just deny completely that they could fail at something they're trying to accomplish. Failure's commonplace. I mean, let's be honest about it. Failure happens way more than success. What we do is we see people who have success, then develop a mindset that success is the norm when it's not. We judge our insides by someone else's outsides and assume that all we have to do is show up and we'll be successful. What I want us to see is that failure is inevitable, but with the right mindset, recovery is also possible. Every great success came from failures. People who rebuilt after their failures. Look at all the corporations now that have closed over just the last year, or franchises that went out of business. A failure is not the end of the road. In the grand scheme of things, it's just a setback, if you have the right perspective. How we perceive the setback determines how we're going to recover from it and how we approach our next opportunity. At some point in time, everyone's going to fail. The problem starts when we look at failure as the end of the road. Let's be real. Marriages fail. Businesses fail. Books don't get published. Weight comes back and jobs get lost. These things happen, but none of them have to be the end of the road. So what are some ways that we can look at and perceive failure differently? Number one is change the way you think and act about it. Michael Bent is the most decorated amateur boxer in American history to never go to the Olympics. Michael also never wanted to be a boxer. And in his career, Michael had a habit of overreacting. His parents were Jamaican, so he could have gone and fought for the Jamaican team, but he refused to give up his U.S. citizenship to fight for the Jamaican team. He could have gone for the U.S. team, but he was only going to be an alternate, so he refused to go with them as well. So Michael turned pro, and he lost his first professional fight by being knocked out in the first round. So he did what any reasonable person would do. He walked away from boxing for over 20 months. But after his hiatus, he came back to become Evander Holyfield's sparring partner. And while he was sparring with Evander, he got picked up by a new promoter. And after just 10 fights, Michael was challenging for the heavyweight championship of the world. That's actually a stretch. He was supposed to be a warm-up fight, but he won, knocking out Tommy Morrison in the first round. Then another strange turn of events happened in Michael's life. The first time he went up to defend his title, he was beaten so badly that he had to go to the hospital. The doctors told him he could never fight again or he would suffer permanent brain damage. Sounds like a failure to me. After some inner contemplation, Michael knew all along he never wanted to fight. That was his father's dream, and he used Michael to fulfill his dream. Michael started taking classes in writing and was asked to write an article for a magazine about his experience of being knocked out. From that article, other opportunities began to come. He became a boxing coach for movies and then became an actor and a director. He's appeared in several movies. Michael had outstanding success and huge public failure. I mean, for a boxer, getting knocked out is the worst failure of all, especially when you're the world champion. What he learned through the experience was that failure was not the end of the road. He learned to look at himself differently and realize he was more than a fighter. So how do you view your successes and failures? Do you only see the times that you failed? Or do you also see the times you pulled it out at the end? Do you look for someone to blame? Or do you look for why it happened? A shift in your mindset is key to seeing yourself in a better light. You know, I know affirmations have gotten a bad rap over time, but I'm not talking about Stuart Smalley affirmations. You know, I'm smart enough, I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me. What I'm talking about is real self-talk, what you say to yourself. In an article on the website Psych Central titled, "Do Positive Affirmations Work?" it says this: positive affirmations are a self-help method to build self-confidence and attract good things to your life. They are simple statements that shift your mindset from negativity and self-criticism to positivity and focusing on your strengths. These statements can encourage and motivate you to develop skills and learn new things and live a healthier life. They can also help you overcome self-doubt, fear, and self-sabotage, and help you see the positive side of life. But do affirmations work? They can, but they won't make things magically occur. It involves shifting your mindset and working to achieve goals. How do you talk to yourself? What do you say about your future? How you see yourself has a lot to do with how you talk to yourself. Saying better things can help you feel better about yourself and about what's going on. Let me step back for a minute. For some people, a negative self-image is a generational scar. If you can't get over seeing yourself as a failure, seeking help is an option. If you see yourself as a failure and not as a person who has failed, talking to a counselor can help you work through a negative self-image. None of us are abject failures. We all have different circumstances and different things that have happened in our lives. A good counselor can help you walk through your perceived failures and see them in a different light. You are not a failure. You are just a human being who has had things happen. Don't take failure personally. This can be the biggest turning point in whether you succeed or fail in whatever area you're reaching for. So when you push the rewind button on your life and look at all the things you've accomplished, do you see yourself as a success or a failure? If you see yourself as just a failure, please take time and find a good counselor and get that off of your heart. All right, that's my soapbox. Moving forward. Number two is we got to learn to survive in the messy middle. Success has to be worked for. The messy middle is the part where life happens. If you're writing a book or making a film, and you've got a beginning and you've got an end, but you've also got to get there. The messy middle is where we connect the dash on our headstones. We live life in the messy middle. And if we want to be successful at whatever we do, we have to learn to push through to get the results we want. This is why we quit going to the gym, why we quit dieting, and why we stop writing the book we've planned for years. It's also why the book gets written mostly and then stopped and never published. Life is life, and it has to be lived. There are no shortcuts and no simple solutions. We have to put in the effort when the excitement is gone. That's where great success comes from. Practice and sticking around are what will get the book finished and the podcast more listens. It gets the script written and pays dividends for your self-worth. I have a friend who wrote a book 20 years ago, and a small publisher published it. But since then, he's written several more books and numerous screenplays, but none of them were picked up until recently. He's now working with a bigger publisher and is getting his original book republished by them. Now that is working in the messy middle. He never stopped believing and reaching out and trying to get his foot in the door, and it finally paid off. Go back to Michael Bent. Michael's life was split in two parts. The part where he was a fighter that he hated to begin with, but became good at it. And the part after the perceived failure, where he's found most of the success in his life. The second half is where he feels at home and where he's living the life he designed. But the thing is, both halves had to be worked for. Nothing ever came easy. Michael had to train to be a fighter. Michael had to go back to school to be an actor. If you want to be successful in life, find something you love to do and learn to do it so well, people will pay you for it. This is the part where many people get tripped up because they may start out doing something and as they progress, they don't want to do the work. There's a reason we say practice makes perfect, because practice makes us better at whatever we do. Even if you start a job at McDonald's, you can't be the manager on the first day. And I know some people, including myself, that think they ought to be the manager. But what we have to do is learn to work and learn the skills needed to be successful at whatever we choose. Time takes time. We can't just jump in and finish something today. We have to work for it. And learning to work through the messy middle is where success comes from. Number three, learn from the failure. Since we established early on that we're all going to fail, we might as well learn from it when we do. This has a lot to do with what I was talking about in the messy middle. Look at James Dyson of Dyson Vacuum Cleaners. He tried over 5,000 different models before he got his vacuum cleaner that would hold a suction even when the filter was dirty. Or Thomas Edison, who had 1,000 different light bulb prototypes before he found one that would stay lit long enough to make it viable for home use. George Washington Carver came up with over 300 different uses for peanuts. It's a peanut. Who would ever think to try 300 different things with peanuts? And no, he didn't invent the best use of peanuts, which is peanut butter. You get my point. A lot of times when we talk about people who are inventors or have done well, we don't see the failure. And when we do see the failure, we go, oh, well, you know, that's Thomas Edison. That's George Washington Carver. That's good for them, but not for me. That's not true. They're just people. They're normal, average, everyday people who just tried something different. Johnny Cash said, you build on failure. You use it as a stepping stone. Close the door on the past. You don't try to forget the mistakes, but you don't dwell on them. You don't let it have any of your energy or any of your time or any of your space. Failure isn't the end. There's always something we can learn, or there's another way to try it, or something else we can do. The only failure is when we quit and don't try again. Here are some things you can do, some questions you can ask. Try to reframe the failure. Look at it as a learning experience. You can ask, how can we look at this from a different way? Then, figure out what actually happened. Is it even a failure, or can you pick up where you left off and keep going? Number two, look at each failure as growth. How can I grow from this? What can I learn? What can I bring from this to help me the next time? Finally, don't blame others for the failure. Look at your part in it, then move on from it. It's part of life. We don't have to blame anyone for what happens. Okay, that's all for this week. Thanks for listening. If you like what you hear, please remember to subscribe and share this with your friends. If you want to stay up to date with all that's happening at Recapture Your Life, you can sign up on the website, recaptureyour.life. And we're also offering complimentary coaching sessions, and you can sign up through the website. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.